AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. We're following breaking news now. CBS News has learned more classified documents have been found in another location once used by President Biden. CBS's Matt Piper has the latest.
The documents marked classified from Joe Biden's tenure as vice president were discovered at least one additional location. This on top of the initial discovery of 10 classified documents found at the Penn Biden Center in November. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says there's a double standard after classified documents were found at Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago.
This is a man that's been in office for more than 40 years. This is a man who prides himself on knowing all this. Why does he treat people different?
The White House is not saying much, citing an ongoing Department of Justice review. Matt Piper, CBS News.
A bit of a cancer scare for First Lady Jill Biden today at Walter Reed. CBS's Steve Dorsey.
A surgery removed a small cancerous lesion above her right eye. Another cancerous lesion was found on her chest. That was also removed. And tissue at a third spot on her left eyelid was also removed and sent for examination.
Thousands of flights have been canceled or delayed today following a nationwide ground stop.
One woman flying to Bogota, Colombia through Miami says she feels lucky.
It says on time, on time. Then I checked in, it said on time. So right now I'm feeling a little good.
But another says she's waiting to go through security until she knows her flight to South Korea will stay on schedule.
Well, just one step at a time.
Airports across the country are urging people to keep an eye on their airline schedule for any changes through the day. Alan Skaya for CBS News at DFW Airport.
The White House says there is no evidence of a cyber attack that triggered the outage. About 30,000 students and staff will be back in class in Des Moines, Iowa tomorrow. Schools there have been closed for 2 days over an apparent cyber attack on its computer system. In California, parts of the state are getting a bit of a relief ahead of more storms.
This has been a day to clean up and assess the damage before the heavy rains return. This woman found a certain irony in the massive amounts of rain coming in the midst of California's record drought.
No water for 2 years and then more water than we got in 2 years in 24 hours.
If there is something good resulting from the storms, many dams and reservoirs which were nearly dry are now full. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
In Georgia, the feds have indicted 76 people in a major gang-related drug ring in state prisons. U.S. Attorney David Estes.
There are allegations outlined in the indictment that drugs were smuggled into the prison with the assistance of an employee of the Georgia Department of Corrections, and they were activities that were coordinated from inside Georgia Department of Corrections to the outside regarding the distribution of controlled substances.
At least three gangs were involved here. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Mantner with your headlines. Wisconsin Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu expected to introduce a plan this week that will create a 3.5% flat tax. Opponents of the flat tax say it only benefits the rich, but the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports LeMahieu says he would like to see a portion of Wisconsin's $6.6 billion budget surplus be used to give everyone a tax cut. The measure will likely be blocked by Democratic Governor Tony Evers. Evers promoting a separate plan to cut income taxes by 10% for the middle class. A section of I-94 in Monroe County closed this morning because of icy conditions causing numerous crashes. The State Patrol shut down 94 between Wisconsin 21 on the north side of Toma and Highway EW at Warrens due to what they're describing as impassable conditions. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does a $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry.
What am I fearing? Why do I?
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Warning, listening to the devil's advocates may expose you to opposing views.
We've mentioned, inflation is going to be an issue. Let me ask you this. What would you like to see Donald Trump do if you were here? What did you suggest Biden do to address the inflationary pressures we're facing right now?
I can't tell you that because that would be something you could counter and defeat Trump with or the Republican Party. So tell you.
You think Trump's taking strategy from you on talk radio, Lou?
I mean, you're no Kid Rock, Lou.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUK Radio. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Minneapolis or vinaigrettemn.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cuff, Henny Cuddy.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Bujou relatives. This is Ogamaganuakwe. I'm here standing in for Robert Pilot for this opening part of the segment today here on Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Normally, I do news and I run some technical stuff for Native Roots Radio, but today Robert is getting ready to take a little vacation with Wendy. They're heading out to New York and won't be back until next week. So we're doing a little bit of different things as we come into the tail end of the week. Really excited today. We have an exciting guest that Robert was able to interview today. We have Rita Walczyk-Arndt with the Minnesota Historical Society, and we have Robert Lilligren from the Native American Community Development Institute, NACDI. Robert was able to get some great interviews with them today, and later on in the show, we'll also hear from Wendy Pilot, who's got some great information about the upcoming and planned Wolf Day here at the Minnesota Capitol. It's coming in close for us. Howling for Wolves is having Wolf Day at the Minnesota Capitol in St. Paul, Minnesota on February 7th, 2023. Wolf Day is a chance for those of you who care about the wolves to sign up and take action by speaking directly with your legislators. They set up times for people to come in and talk with their legislators about why it's important to take care of the wolves and to advocate for the non-lethal Keep the Pack Intact rule. And what that is that when there's things like a wolf hunt or wolves are, deemed legal to kill, if somebody accidentally kills the alpha male or the alpha female of a pack, it actually makes the wolf population worse. It makes it a lot more unstable because normally when wolf packs are intact, only the alpha male and female mate. However, when the alpha male or female is killed, then other wolves in the pack will start mating, and that really makes it hard for those pups to survive, but it also increases the population of wolves. So killing wolves really doesn't bring their numbers down in the way that people think that it does, and it really doesn't protect livestock or keep humans safe at all either. So if that's something that matters to you, make sure you head on over to howlingforwolves.org and register today for Wolf Day at the Minnesota Capitol. I know we've got some of our great longtime listeners. Alice, I think, has already signed up to go do that or had planned to sign up for that. So really looking forward to hearing about that from Wendy and hopefully some of our listeners as well. Today, I do have a little bit of news locally again here in Minnesota. This coming weekend on January 13th and 14th is the Gitche Manadu Gizis Powwow at the Black Bear Casino Resort Otter Creek Event Center in Carlton, Minnesota. Really exciting to see that. January 13th, 7 p.m. is grand entry, and January 14th, 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. for grand entry on that powwow. I'm hopefully going to be up there. So if that's something you might be interested in going to, and you happen to see me around, say bonjour, relative. I'd be happy to talk to anybody. Really looking forward to this other app that I've seen here, too. There's a new Anishinaabe Moda, a language revitalization platform that's available for people. It's free to register and use, and there's 120 learning modules to complete with audio and visual aids for the Anishinaabe Mohin language. I believe it is coming out of Canada. Unfortunately, this time it is only user-friendly on a computer or a laptop. Compatibility with mobile devices has not been able to be done yet. If you are interested, you can head over to anishinaabemoda.app/identity-account-login. That's identity/account/login. The app is anishinaabemoda.app, and you can create a free account there to build up your Ojibwe language skills. Really pretty excited about that. Myself, I could use some better Ojibwe skills, definitely the case. And if anybody knows a good coach for Dakota Lakota, I tend to butcher those. So this story came in from Hackaday.com. Wearable Scobots are full of steam and vanishing indigenous languages. Danielle Boyer is an Ojibwe from the Sault Ste. Marie tribe, and she's passionate about preserving vanishing indigenous languages. And she's invented a shoulder-worn talking companion called a Scobot. And it's to teach steam to children through building robots programmed with indigenous language lessons and founded on the steam connection to give them away. She's part of the Every Kid Gets a Robot program, and more than 8,000 of these kits have been distributed for students. There's a total cost of less than $20 US, and the 3D printed bots are helping to increase access to robots. So that is super duper exciting. I've just been taking a look at what they look like here, and if you're interested in getting a Scobot, you can go to steamconnection.org/scobots. That's S-K-O-B-O-T-S. Steam, like steam in a train, slash Scobots, online.org/scobots. And it's wearable culture, and it's robot designed. And I mean, the intersectionality of all of these things, of science, of math, of robotics, of language, all of these things. I mean, so, so very exciting. I am interested. And if you may or may not see me with one of these on my shoulder coming in this new year, they kind of look like little minions. They're like a little cylinder, and they've got like a big round thing right in the middle, like a little, like a one eyeball. And I'm just so excited with them. The robot is equipped with a speech and a flashing light, and it is okay, so it says the robot actually costs $100 to make, and then it's sent to tribal schools and indigenous educational institutions for free, as well as mentorship and leadership programs for students. So definitely, if you are somebody who falls into that, get one of these, get a Scobot. These look super cool. Really excited about that. One last thing I want to cover before we go to break here is that there is going to be an MMIW documentary that's going to appear at the Sundance Film Festival this month. And it's by Ivan and Ivy McDonald. They are siblings, and they're Blackfeet filmmakers. And they produce a story called Murder in Bighorn, which is a three-part documentary set in the Crow and Northern Cheyenne reservations. And it's going to premiere internationally again at the Sundance Film Festival this month. They did interviews with law enforcement, state medical examiners, tribal leaders, victims and families, or tribal leaders and victims' families. families. And the documentary is actually telling the story of several missing or murdered Indigenous women in Montana, not just one. It follows the cases of Selena Not Afraid, 16, who was found dead in Bighorn County. Kaysera Stops Pretty Places, 18, who was found dead in Hardin, Montana. Henny Scott, who was 14, who was found dead near Lame Deer, and Shekiah Harding, who was last seen in Billings in 2018 and who has not been found. This is to bring attention to the thousands of missing and murdered Indigenous women and relatives, a crisis so prevalent, it has its own acronym, and this is coming out of the Missoulian from Honora Mabee. You know, it's an ongoing issue here in Minnesota, and Minnesota has been one of the first states to establish an MMIW office here in Minnesota. And I'm really hoping that places west of us are going to do that as well. So we're just about to go over to commercial here on Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We are going to hear again from Rita from the Minnesota Historical Society and Robert Pilot. And we're also going to hear from Robert Lilligren of NACDI, the Native American Community Development Institute, with Robert Pilot later on this evening. Thanks for tuning in to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We will be right back after these messages from our sponsors. Please stay with us. COVID-19 is still here. It's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help you protect yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. Get your booster at the 360 Colburn Clinic, operated by St. Paul Ramsey County Public Health, for a chance to win one of five $500 Visa gift cards. Each week in January, a winner will be selected from eligible persons age 5 and up who got their COVID-19 booster. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/booster.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered Indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MinSure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MinSure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MinSure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNSure.org. MNSure.org.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. You know, this portion's sponsored and supported by a MinSure. You know, need your health insurance but don't know where to go? MinSure has free expert help to walk you through it. So thanks again for MinSure for supporting Native Roots Radio. I am here, and we are with Rita Walizak Arndt, and we are going to be talking about the Minnesota Historical Society and what she does. And I'm really excited to have you on, Rita. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Bonjour, Robert. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be on your show and to talk about, you know, the work that I do at the Historical Society. So first, bonjour, Anine, Rita, Indigenous, Gawaba, Baganaka, Gindunjaba.
My name is Rita Walczak-Arndt. I'm of Polish descent and a citizen of the White Earth Nation of Ojibwe. I live in the live born and raised in the suburbs. So I'm a burbs kid, Hennepin County, always. And I've worked at the Minnesota Historical Society for almost 9 years. Next month is going to be my 9-year anniversary, and it's very exciting. I've grown there, and it's been really great time growing there.
Well, I've come down, Rita, and thanks again for being on the show. I've come down and spoke with you and felt like really welcomed as a Native American. And that's a really important thing for us because, you know, we all have phobias and things like that with museums and historical societies. So it's really great to have a Native American down there. Can you tell us a little bit about what your job entitles?
Sure. So I am the program and outreach manager for a department called Native American Initiatives. It's one of the first departments of its kind in the field. And it's a all Native staff, which we really pride on. It's really great. And it's a nice little thing. But what we try to do is we make sure that there's accurate and appropriate Native representation and, you know, programming, interpretation, exhibits, and such like that. And so throughout the organization, a fact that not a lot of people know is that we have the second largest historical society in the nation. And I think we need to toot our horn more about that because I like our Minnesota pride is already pretty big. So might as well just add on to that. And it is a colonial institution. It was founded by Alexander Ramsey, who is a known Indian killer. And it has, you know, that colonial tendency of the collecting of Native stuff. So it's our cultural patrimony for Native people is at the Historical Society. And can be traumatizing at time, but also very rewarding to be able to be in the space with community to kind of bridge the gap to help welcome them back into that space to see the, you know, the objects, the photographs, and to be like, hey, this is yours. Let's see it. How can we help you see it? What do you want to know? And like, let's make it a little less intimidating and scary because it's a big institution.
Well, that's a really good point because I frequent New York City and I'm always on the lookout for, because there's so much Native things that are kind of hidden in the city, but they also have a museum and a cultural center. But I go to Google right away to find out what's happening when I'm traveling. So not only that, but, you know, local people need to know what you guys have to offer.
Yeah, and I feel like we're, because the department I work in, Native American Initiatives, it's going to be 7 years old this year. And so wow. It's a fairly new department, but like we're growing. We've like almost tripled in size since when I first started in the department. So that's very exciting. And it's also like we have lots that we're going to do. Something that I want to highlight is the exhibit at the History Center in St. Paul, our home Native Minnesota. It's just celebrated its 3-year anniversary, and I helped create that. And so I'm a little biased, but I absolutely love it. And we have a gallery space adjacent to it that we're going to open a show on photographs later this fall. So stay tuned for that. We'll come back to talk more about that project, but like it's like an active, ongoing Native history, Native content, Native voices in that space. And that's something that hasn't happened in the past.
Yeah, that is exciting. And I remember that when that initiative, and I've been down there too, it's very, very impressive. And just to back up just a second, it's always fun running into you in the community. And I really, really mean that because of your photographs that you're, do you want to talk a little bit about that or?
Sure. No, I think it's a great project and I'm happy to share some more information for listeners and viewers. Is like, so the Minnesota Historical Society, they have a lot of stuff, right? It's not just Native stuff. They got a lot of other stuff, right? but we also have a large collection from the Star and the Tribune, and there was just boxes of photographs, and there was these boxes, and there was files just labeled Indians. So, which was interesting, because otherwise it was like agriculture or like, you know, like other things, but then the Indians, I'm like, that's okay, whatever. But we have gone through those photos, and some of them haven't been seen since they were published in the paper on that specific day. And we're really highlighting it's a lot of it is the urban community from the 60s and 70s, you know, when a lot of movement and organizing was happening. But they do, there are shots of reservation life as well. And so we're highlighting some of those stories, and it's going to be a really great exhibit, really focused on like how folks kind of media focused on Native people and how we can retell. Our working title is Reframing Our Stories, because, you know, there was usually a white reporter reporting on the story, but we're going to switch that up and tell it from Native perspective and be like, here's how it was, here's who was there, you know, and get some of those what really happened instead of a lens from a columnist.
What I like too is I pulled out a couple pictures you gave me, and they were from some Ho-Chunks that were dealing with radio. So it was like, yes, it was pretty fun and funny. I have that up in my studio here. And I think it was from the Fairbanks family, which is a huge, but it's a huge family in Ho-Chunk. So it's amazing, because I know, and we'll get into this on another show too, but I know how Ho-Chunks have been here for thousands of years too. And we're scattered around here, and there's 500 of us here now, plus many, many Winnebago of Nebraska, which really are Ho-Chunks. They're our relatives for sure. So there's all these stories, removal stories, treaty signing stories, and all these things. And it's exciting to have the Star and Tribune, and which was a two-day paper. It was the Star in the afternoon and the Tribune in the morning, or vice versa, in the heyday of newspapers. I love history, so I love looking at pictures. I love going to museums, and I like to see what the stories are. And also, Rita, I like to see the spelling, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. That's something I do struggle with, is actually the some of the phonetics that was used in some of the like historical photographs and everything. And I want to fix it, but at the same, like, what is fixing it like really look like, you know, like, because it's so phonetic. I'm like, it's not bad. So I've struggled with that's a, one of my struggles is like when I'm doing interpretation, because I'm like, I want it to be accurate, but what is accurate? Like, these people are no longer here, so I can't like double check with them. But, you know, I just want to make it as, you know, I want to indigenize it is the thing.
Yeah. And that's important. And it's also, I think there's been a really big swing. And I really believe, and maybe it's just the yellow Volkswagen syndrome, I'm really paying attention the last 6-7 years. But I really think since Standing Rock, there's been a really big swing again, like we had in the early 90s after Dancing with Kevin Costner came out. Dancing with the Wolves, you know what I mean. But that we've got the spotlight shined on us again. So this is an exciting time to be Native and also show off our Nativeness.
Exactly. And I know you mentioned like being Ho-Chunk, and like I feel like they're in Minnesota, there's like people are just like Dakota Ojibwe, Dakota Ojibwe. And you're like, don't forget our Ho-Chunk friends. So I'm so glad that we've built this relationship, because it really helps figuring out how we can rectify that at the institution, and then hopefully have an influence over other things. And another big thing is the large urban community that's been around forever in the Twin Cities. There's so many different tribal representation there that we always just have to be like, it's so much, and it's so great, such a great place. The stuff that was born out of that community is just still amazing. So I was like, don't discount. We're not just Ojibwe, Dakota. There's other people too.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting, and we can get into this other times that we talk, but it's interesting about blood quantum. Mm-hmm. And I've had, I'm a former high school teacher, and I had students that were full blood Native, but not enough in one tribe. And so there's that too. I think the urban Indians really took off in the 40s when they were trying to get us off the reservation. And you're right. And especially the Twin Cities, I feel like, has a rich, rich urban history of Native Americans. You know, we're all over the place.
Yeah, I was just looking at it's my Grandma Margaret's birthday today, she would have been 95. But they moved down to from White Earth in the late 40s to the cities because, you know, of that push. So it's like we grew up in the cities. Cities is where it's at. And that's where community was made. And I think that's something that's really, we need to talk more about that now because the people are still here to share that story.
Wow, exactly. Rita, just give a shout out real quick of how we can get a hold of you or how we can come down to the History Center. What's your suggestion here?
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. CBS News has learned more classified documents have been found from President Biden's tenure as VP. CBS's Matt Piper.
These documents were found in at least one additional location than previously known, and it's not clear when they were discovered. It was made after lawyers for President Biden found the first batch of roughly 10 documents at a private office in Washington back in November. Officials are looking at the possibility that other documents may be in other locations.
People are still dealing with travel troubles as airports recover from today's nationwide ground stop. This woman's in Charlotte.
People were scrambling and a lot of people were just trying to figure out what they were going to do next. Some people got a car and decided to drive, and we did consider that.
California is cleaning up from severe storms. CBS's Elise Preston.
Wood has been snapped off. Tree branches, pretty thick tree branches, have been twisted and ripped from the root. You can also see these backhoes going, trying to clear all of this mud.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Two courts have ruled a Northern Wisconsin Sheriff's Department conducted an illegal search of a detective's Dropbox account. Back in 2017, Stephen Bowers was charged with two felony counts of misconduct in public office. He reportedly shared the files with producers of a true crime TV show. The courts say Bowers had a right to privacy since the Dropbox account was private and that Taylor County deputies did not have a right to search without a warrant. The weather was bad enough overnight to close schools and other services in and around Chippewa Falls and the surrounding area today. Freezing rain and snow made for a slippery glaze on roads this morning. Driving is expected to be tricky all day. In sports, Michigan State rallied to beat the Badgers last night. Tonight, the Bucks are at Atlanta and Marquette hosts UConn. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
The devil's advocates, never personal, only politics.
Relative to population, I believe Waukesha County is running like twice the mortality rate of Dane County.
Right. Well, and then you and your wife braved Mayville to see the band or the play.
But man, I'm vaxxed. I'm boosted. I'm feeling pretty good about life. Well, I don't know about good shape, but I'm vaxxed and I'm boosted.
Yeah. Did you have a couple of glasses of wine up there?
No wine. Lots of rum. Rum, tum, tum.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Or vinaigrettemn.com.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation,
and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. And this portion is supported by Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. Thank you so much for your support, and what a great organization. And talking about a great organization and a great person, we got Robert Lilligren here today. And Robert, we have a little limited time here. But we have so many different listeners all over the country. I think we should kind of do a bio of you, of what you really do and where you're from, because we jump on and we just have fun usually every Thursday and talk about national and local stuff. But I just want to let everyone know who you are. And again, welcome.
Bonjour, Robert. Yeah, thanks for the welcome. And you always say the nicest things, so thanks. Let's get a little ego strokes when we get together. So I appreciate that too. And yeah, I'm really happy to talk about stuff that I've done. And, in a couple of cases, as you know, and maybe some folks know, I served on the Minneapolis City Council for 12 years. I was the first Native tribal citizen to serve on that body, to be elected to any office in Minneapolis. And that kind of launched me into this trajectory of civic life.
Yeah, wow. So, just to back up, if you don't mind, too, and yeah. I know we talk about this a little bit, too, because I'm a Minnesota boy, and I grew up on WCCO radio. That's when it was the good neighbor, not the evil neighbor. thank you. That was a good joke. And your father was on there for many, many, many years.
Yeah, he served about a quarter century at WCCO Radio. It's an AM station here, one of those giants. Yeah. It's an agricultural station, and he served as agricultural director for a number of years there as well. And that was the place. It was before the internet, right? That's the place where farmers went for market information, for technology. And as a Native man, he was in a rare environment. He opened a lot of doors and shattered a lot of glass ceilings, and he always carried that Native identity with him. And so he left quite a legacy here. So I just love when you recognize him.
Yeah, definitely. And so you're a young person, and now you're my age. So we're all on the other side of being an elder now. And let's talk a little bit of what you're doing, because we always joke when we see each other in the public, because you wear so many different hats. Let's tell our audience a little about all those hats you wear.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because I started my path in community involvement, community leadership, organizing my block here in South Minneapolis in the Phillips neighborhood when it became really unsafe and children couldn't play outside. So I started as a block leader and organizer, and that work just kind of expanded. I volunteered like crazy amounts of time, and like any good volunteer, my reward for doing good work was more work. And so that led to serving on maybe 8 different community committees, councils, things like that, task force in the late 1990s. That led me to think, I kind of have an idea of what's going on in this city. I can see the decisions that are being made in City Hall. I was not confident that the decisions being made would really be supportive of me and my predominantly BIPOC low-wealth neighbors. So I decided to run for city council. I think I was the last person people thought would run for city council, and certainly the last one they thought would get elected. But I got elected in 2001. I served 3 terms as the vice president of the council. And I got to tell you, Robert, that changed the trajectory of my life entirely. It introduced me to structures of power, to ecosystems that I had no access to before that. And wow. After 12 years, when I left the Minneapolis City Council, my elders and advisors said, now you need to figure out how to put what you've learned to the service of the Native community. And when serving in city council for 12 years, it's like you take yourself out of real life, And I was thinking, wow, did I really learn anything? What do I have transferable skills? Yeah. And so after a while I realized, okay, I might have something to contribute. And so it moved into a number of leadership positions within the community, the Native community, and then the broader community as well.
Wow, that's exciting. So you have become like the go-to in a good way, Native Native, not politician, but Native advocate.
Yeah, thanks for saying that, and I hope it's in a good way. You know, it's not, it's interesting because it's not like I seek out, you know, these, what I joke as my 17 titles or whatever, but they just kind of come to you, you know, and opportunities to do things like serve on the Minneapolis Truth and Reconciliation Task Force, for example, or the group that determined where economic development would go here post-COVID, post George Floyd, and things like that. And of course, I'm always creating opportunity to bring others along. That's been a cornerstone of my work in public life. And there are somewhere where I feel like, even if I don't really want to do it that much, I just feel like I have the experience, perspective, the willingness to participate. And so I do. And
yeah, you know, and that's I want to back up a second here. That's an important aspect of being Native and being in a community is to hand your knowledge and, you know, amplify others. And you do that really with NATCI. That office is a rocking place of positivity. And, you know, how did that start? Not NATCI so much as you wanting to give it away to keep it. That's a kind of a term that we use.
I love it. And that was a cornerstone from the beginning of my professional and public life. And it was a whole new environment for me. And when I was first running for office, people wouldn't help me. You know, I was challenging the system. I was challenging our party. Party activists wouldn't even meet with me. And Wow. And I got really frustrated. And I made the determination then that if I should ever get elected to public office or have the opportunity, I would meet with anyone who asked me, even if I'm not going to support you at the end of the day. It's about access, right? It's about knowledge. It's about sharing. And so that has really been a priority for me all along. And then I just look back, you know, and how many, I really delight in helping to support and shape new young candidates, you know, especially women of color. And I just look back at the candidates I've helped, you know, been able to support early, like Susan Allen, Wow. A Native legislator here in Minnesota, who was the first Native lesbian, out lesbian elected to any legislature in the country. Wow. Andrea Jenkins, who's currently our city council president, who is a first Black trans woman to lead any city's legislative body and things like that. Our Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, supporting her in her first campaign for school board. Yeah. I wrote her first campaign contribution, introduced her for her first victory speech, and Wow. She brought me tobacco and asked me to administer the oath of office to her. And since I was serving in the Minneapolis City Council, I'd taken an oath of office, I could administer one. And so, Wow. So I just feel like, if it's just supporting me, it's not really that, you know, that useful, but it's much more worthwhile if you're bringing others along.
Well, let's back up on that too. You helped me as being a Ho-Chunk legislator, really offered that right away. And that's a good way. And then even these last two cycles of elections, you and your group were out there helping our politicians, and again, amplify their voice in a good way and also showing them the ropes.
Yeah. What I loved about working with you on your Ho-Chunk legislative campaign, and congratulations, they're lucky to have you, is that you listened to me. And not everyone does, but you had such qualified people around you, talented, qualified people. And immediately I saw the suggestions that I've made or the guidance that I've given reflected in your campaign. And so just to say, Chi Miigwech for that, it feels good to be listened to.
Well, and not only that, and I think we had one of the things I really listened to, and I think I had that experience, but I had to name it, is to meet people where they're at. Mm-hmm. And I did that as a high school teacher, almost naturally. And then also, well, not naturally, I had to do it, you know, just things like, not ask about somebody's brother or sister that was a student of mine and deal with the person as a person, mm-hmm. not as so-and-so's brother or sister, just weird little things like that.
Yeah, that's so interesting, Rob. And it kind of becomes more difficult when you're a candidate or an elected official, because it's almost a barrier, right? An election certificate can act as a barrier. It raises suspicion. You're part of the system. Right. If you're a politician, people are like, oh, yeah, you're just a typical politician.
Right.
And so you really have to be intentional about listening, about meeting people where you're at, like you say, and not leading the conversation, but really listening.
Right. And that is a twofold thing. Once you're elected too, you really do want to listen, because there are a lot of people there that you feel like you may be boots on the ground, but they literally are boots on the ground with their own story and their own life.
I agree. The people know what they need, right? Native people know what we want, know what we need. You know, it's just sort of creating the access so those voices are heard, and then sufficient resources get directed toward those.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked about too, and we got like just 2 minutes here, but I wanna bring in. We talk about what's going to happen in the next few years, but also how important it is to, you know, we joke about when elections come up, how important it is to all the way from school board to the president. But it's more local, right? It's more mm-hmm. local that we really need to worry about.
True. And all politics are local. I'm sure you've heard that a million times, but we're able to act. You know, I grew up in the era of think globally, act locally. You know?
Yeah.
So you can really have the biggest impacts in a local way. And I just learned through the years the importance of having a place at the table, of access, right? And, you know, after, you know, today I'll be participating in a luncheon for the officers of Minneapolis's Convention and Visitors Association. I'm vice chair of that. I'll be mm-hmm. chair in 2 years, have influence and access. And then I go into St. Paul for Metropolitan Council meetings. I'm the first Native person to serve on the Metropolitan Council, a regional government. Again, right. A whole new level of access and ability to amplify our community's interests.
Wow, this has been too short, and we usually talk a little longer, but I really appreciate that, and I hope our listening audience appreciates it too, because we're so into like talking, because we have so many similar interests, and just jumping right into it. So it's good to take a step back here in this new year and reintroduce you, Robert.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate all you do.
Right. And likewise, thank you so much for what you do in the community. That's Robert Lilligren and Native American Community Development Institute. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MNsure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MNsure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MNsure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNsure.org. MNsure.org.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves. Please join Howling for Wolves on Wolf Day, Tuesday, February 7th, 2023, at the Minnesota State Capitol. You can sign up on Howling for Wolves event page. Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Ooh, good one. Good one. Good one, everyone. That's a staple of our show is Howling for Wolves. Mm-hmm. Wait, Howling for Wolves.
That's right.
Well, you know what I mean. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years. And we speak since the year one, day one of Native Roots Radio. We talk about our sacred animals. So take it away, Wendy.
Hey, everybody. Hi. I'm happy to be here tonight. My name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And it's always my pleasure to do that.
How?
That's right. So Howling for Wolves has supported Native Roots Radio also from day one.
Yes.
They're an awesome organization. Dr. Maureen Hackett is the founder and president of Howling for Wolves. And I'm really excited to talk about what they're doing on February 7th. And I'm going to ask people to save the date. So Tuesday, February 7th, 2023 is going to be Wolf Day. At the Minnesota State Capitol, and I'm really excited to sign up. I already signed up to go there on February 7th. And what this event is we're going to be able to talk about the wolves, why it's important to save the wolves, why it's important to stop a wolf hunt. Everybody out there who lives in Minnesota can come to the Minnesota State Capitol, or you could sign up and do a virtual visit if you don't feel comfortable coming to the State Capitol to talk to your senators and representatives about why you feel it's important to save our Minnesota wolves. And I'm really excited about it because I've done this in the past for Wolf Day and for Humane Lobby Day, which I do for the Humane Society of the United States. Every year, and it's a really fun and empowering day where you meet people who are like-minded and you make new friends, and you're going to check in on February 7th after you sign up at 10 a.m. at the Minnesota State Capitol. They're going to have great guest speakers, including Dr. Maureen Hackett, who is the founder of Howling for Wolves. An organization fighting to protect wolves for future generations. That's right. One of the guest speakers I'm excited to tell you about is Dr. Michael W. Fox. And he's been involved from the very beginning to protect wolves. And he's also a veterinarian. So he is very well versed and knows why it's important to save our wolves. Howling for Wolves also has the greatest little, I don't know, what do you call it? A logo. So it's the non-lethal keep the pack intact. I love that. So listen, everybody, go on. We have the link to sign up for Wolf Day on our Facebook page. And right now, if you're listening and you're watching on Facebook Live, you could just find the information, or you could just Google Wolf Day at the Capitol, Howling for Wolves, and it pops right up, and you just have to click on the link, fill in your information. They're going to serve lunch, which is awesome, and you also get a Howling for Wolves t-shirt. Oh. And you could just say what size you want.
Extra large,
yeah,
please.
You pick the size you want and go. And it's really awesome because you meet with your state senator. So I would meet with Erin Murphy, and I would go in either by myself or hopefully with a group of people. And here's the thing, when your representatives and senators see a group of people who care about the same thing coming in and talking about this. They know it's important. So when it comes across their desk, they're like, oh, yeah, that's right. I had 20 people in my office talking about this. Or, oh, I had, you know, 10 phone calls about this. Or, oh, I had this amount of people show up in the rotunda at the state capitol. This is really important to my constituents, and this is something I need to look at and care about, because they can't know everything. Your state senators and representatives don't know what's important to you until you let them know. And also, I'm going to put this out for Maureen Hackett, that I will be there on February 7th. And what I've done in the past for the Humane Lobby Day is to help people. Let's say it's a one person going in to see their legislator or their senator. And sometimes it's really intimidating if you've never done this before, and it's kind of scary and people don't want to do it. I would volunteer and go with them to their appointment and just be there to help them along and answer any questions that they have. So I would cool. I would do that, no problem, for Wolf Day, again, Tuesday, February 7th, 2023. It starts at 10 o'clock. You check in, and then the day goes by and has lots of great stuff, lunch and speakers, and you'll meet with your senator and legislator.
Tuesday the 7th.
Tuesday the 7th, yeah. Put it in your calendar and mark the day. So I'm really excited about that.
I'm excited about another T-shirt. Thanks,
yeah, man. I don't have that much time left, but I just wanted to give some like fun facts about wolves.
Hey.
You know, once a wolf has found a mate, they tend to stay together for better or worse. Robert, that's better than some people, right?
Yeah.
Through sickness and in health, often until death do them part. Of course, it's typical only the alpha male and female that breed. So that's normally what happens in a pack. So here's the thing. Let's say they have a trophy hunt, right? And the hunters go out and they kill the wolves indiscriminately. They don't know who the male and female alpha, ones that are the alpha and who only mate, right? So they kill the alpha male or the alpha female, and then that breaks up the pack. Not only, is the other animal sad because their mate is gone and dead, but now the other members of the pack will mate, and then you make more wolves, right?
Wow.
Exactly. So this is one of the reasons why it's important not to kill our wolves.
Right.
And you know what? Wolves will die for each other. In addition to the trend toward monogamy, wolves develop such strong social bonds for their family and other loved ones, they have been known to sacrifice themselves for the survival of the pack and the family unit. That's more over Romeo and Juliet. Right?
Yeah.
And it's all about the howl. Perhaps the most well-known characteristic of the gray wolf is its penetrating, hauntingly beautiful howl. And we try to mimic that every day when we introduce Howling for Wolves. This is primarily a communication tool both between lone wolves and their pack, as well as between packs. When it comes to territory, inter-pact howling will determine the size and strength of different pack, often determining whether or not to attack or retreat. So they use that howl as an important communication tool.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's keep the pack intact. Everybody sign up Tuesday, February 7th, 2023 at the Minnesota State Capitol.
Yeah, excellent. And then get helped by Wendy going to see your
state senator
and representative.
Definitely.
She'll hold your hand and teach you the good way, because you've been doing this for years.
Yeah, I've been doing it quite a few years.
Wow.
And it's really fun.
It's exciting, too, and I'll add a T-shirt to my collection. I appreciate that, Wendy.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for Robert Lilligren, Ogama, and our intern in the background doing all the background stuff. I really appreciate Ayana. We'll be back tomorrow. Stay with us.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Now.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned community. ¿Te tiene agobiado tu trabajo? ¿Sueñas con una carrera profesional donde puedas ganar más dinero y te sientas apreciado? Si tu respuesta es afirmativa, entonces Sigma Castings, una división de Sigma Engineered Solutions en Marquesan y Jackson, es tu respuesta. Son más que una empresa, son una familia de expertos dedicados que abarcan continentes. Te harán sentir apreciado de muchas maneras. Por ejemplo, el nivel básico de pago es de $18 por hora con revisiones periódicas de rendimiento. Después de los primeros 90 días de empleo, tendrás derecho a 80 horas de vacaciones más 11 feriados pagados. Aún más, ganarías un bono de $2,000 por permanecer en tu puesto. Te ofrecen un paquete de beneficios robusto, con primas bajas y excelente cobertura, y su plan de retiro 401k te va a impresionar. Se está contratando ahora para el primer turno, lunes a viernes, de 5 de la mañana a 2 de la tarde. Empieza tu nueva carrera ya con Sigma Castings en Marquesan y Jackson. Encuéntralos en Indeed o llama a 920-260-8560 y levántate en la mañana feliz de ir al trabajo.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.